The first time I walked into Lee Arendelle State Prison, I was really, really scared. I was there to do a 3-week guest teaching slot with a nonprofit called Reforming Arts. My long-term goal? To teach a creative writing class inside. But this guest slot in a literature class was my way of dipping a toe in. The act of reading is inherently less vulnerable and less revelatory than the act of writing. I chose To Kill a Mockingbird, which, in retrospect, was the worst best choice. The best because it's dealing with issues of race and class and justice and privilege, so it's relevant to an incarcerated population. The worst because I'm a middle-class white woman, and talking about issues of race and class and justice and privilege with an incarcerated population, many of whom grew up in abject poverty, many of whom are minorities, makes me so uncomfortable I want to crawl out of my own skin and dig under the ground like a red, wet worm to stew in the loam. Lee Arendelle is Georgia's maximum security facility for women. I see it for the first time as I come over a gentle slope of green grass, just past a cemetery dotted with bright flowers. It's a big, rambling campus, surrounded by tall trees and barbed wire, orangey brick buildings. It looks a little bit like a school or a hospital. Maybe even a church. There's a very tall white cross on one of these government buildings. As I park, I see officers who are varying degrees of armed walking in and out. There are guard towers, exactly the kind you always see in movies. And I'm terrified. You wouldn't have guessed it. I was smiling as I came in to check in through the front office, overly chatty, overly friendly with the sergeant at the front, but that is my fear response. I'm not much for fight or flight. In terror situations, I choose charm. Charm is particularly ineffective against, say, wolves or fire, but when I'm scared, it's my go-to move. I become entertaining when I'm in mortal terror. I'm like that terrible Warner Brothers frog from the cartoons, remember? Hello, my honey, hello. Yeah, I can't help myself. I'm alone when I go in. Inside, I'm going to meet my friend Wendy Ballou, the executive director of Reforming Arts. She's already there teaching the first track. My class is called Track 2, 9:30 to 11:30. I'll be there for only 2 hours, but I have 20 hours of lecture material and discussion questions and small group work ready because that's my other fear response, over-preparation. I've been through a training program, one day. There's a lot of rules about who can be touched and how, rules about body fluids because tuberculosis and HIV are more prevalent in incarcerated populations. There's a dress code, no open-toed shoes, no jeans, no khaki because the prison uniforms are khaki and you don't want to go in looking like an inmate. I'm wearing a long floral skirt and my closed-toed shoes and my teal, not khaki blouse. It's like church lady chic. I've got To Kill a Mockingbird and a college handbook clutched to my chest like a breastplate, like I am officially under the protection of Strunk and White and Harper Lee. As I go inside, I'm asking myself why I'm doing this, and I know why, intellectually speaking. It's because of the 80s, when we got tough on crime and created mandatory minimums and 3-strike laws. Before 1980, our prison population was less than 350,000 people in this country. In the years since, it's ballooned to over 2.2 million. And Newsweek reports that the number of women incarcerated since 2010 has gone up 3.4% a year, making them, quote, the fastest growing group within the correctional population. My heart reason is, I'm a redemption-obsessed novelist. I think people are more than the worst thing they ever did. Do you hold the worst thing you ever did in your hand and stare at it and say, this is all I am, all I will be, forever? If you do, how can you make a different choice when you come to that same crossroad? I'm here because I believe education creates opportunity, and opportunity is key to sustainable, rich, community-centered living. I'm here because I believe in the power of narrative. I believe reading teaches us empathy and makes us aspire, and I believe writing, the act of it, is transformative. The stories you tell about yourself shape you. I believe we can write ourselves into better stories and then live into those. I have to go through a set of gates, like an airlock, before I can get to my class. An officer sitting behind a wall of bulletproof glass and concrete hits a button, I hear a buzzer, and the first gate unlocks. I step through into a cage. The next gate across this small enclosed space will not be buzzed open until the first one is fully closed and locked. I close it, and in that breathless few seconds, between those two doors, that's the scariest part, because standing in that cage, I see all my opportunities. I see my excellent, intact family, good people who love me, who valued education. I was never hit. I was never hungry. I was born with every advantage, and even so, I have not lived a perfect life. Have you? Waiting for the gate to buzz, I think, what if my life had gone just a little differently? I take the worst thing I ever did out, and I hold it in my hand, and I look at it. I look back at all my roads not taken. It could be me. It could be you. On Wednesday, September 21st at 7 p.m., Pulitzer Prize finalist Colson Whitehead will be at the Carter Center's Cecil B. Day Chapel. He'll be discussing his new novel, The Underground Railroad, which tells the story of Cora, a slave on a cotton plantation in Georgia who is an outcast even among her fellow slaves. Caesar, a recent arrival from Virginia, tells her of the Underground Railroad and they plot their escape. Things do not go as planned. This is a ticketed event in conjunction with Acapella Books, and you can secure your place by visiting acapellabooks.com. For WABE, I'm Jocelyn Jackson.